I realized during Psalm 121, one of my life verses is in there, where it says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. For a guy who gets sunburn all the time, that's a promise to live by. I still put on sunblock and wear hats. But the Lord is my shade. The sun won't destroy me totally. Anyway, I like that. So I kind of wanted like a fog machine for this series and music. We might get the courage to do it because I was thinking through what I wanted to speak about for the next like couple months and on Sundays. And the idea was I really wanted to look into what God's purpose is for relationships. What was his purpose? What relationships look like without God and what they look like with God. And so I wanted to call the next like 10 weeks. All week, my mind has been going, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. And I want to come into that with, like, fog machine and be like, what is love? And then I want to end every sermon with, what is love? Love, love, love. And then I'm gone. Because that, I think, I don't know. I just feel like if there's something that really affects us and really is true, it's this idea of relationships, that God created us to be in relationship, to relate to him, to relate to each other. There's like, so the idea of like there's romantic love, right? Like Adam and Eve. There's family. There's being a son, a father, a brother, a sister. There's friendships that we have. There's relationships with our neighbors, the people we're not that close to, but they're our neighbors, you know? There's relationships to our enemies, people who actually hate you, and they hope that you fail. Like, we have those people. How do we relate to them? How do we relate to our vocation? Like, God created us to have a relationship with the things that we do, that we are creative and producing something. Our relationship with the earth. Like, how do we enjoy the earth? How do we tend to the earth and subdue it and create things and walk in its beauty or whatever, you know? And then what about the relationship with the government? There's a relationship with church. And so I want to look at all these things and figure out what is God's purpose for these? Where am I? Where are the boundaries, the borders? Where can I find the most in all these relationships? And so we want to start kind of going in order of creation and going from the very beginning and kind of how God created these relationships. That's kind of the flow I'm in my mind. But again, always think, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. And you got to sing the whole thing to sell it. No more. Because that is the deal with relationships, right? Is there's an expectation. What are you expecting out of a relationship? And most of the first relationship is, we have an expectation usually for some kind of romantic relationship or relationship with a parent. There's basic relationships. And what do we want? What is a relationship? What's the whole point of it? I was thinking about that. Like, what fuels a good relationship? And what is it? Love. What is love? Like, relationship equals love. Because you don't go into a relationship, even parenting, you kind of go into a relationship with this child knowing it's just you give and you give and you give. But eventually you hope to get something out of it. Like, all relationships are, the energy for them is that you get love, that you be loved, that it would be safe, that you could create something, you know, and then you realize there's a cost. I have to love too. But all relationships are love. They are. That's what we hope to get out of it. And the reality is, that's what we hope for. The reality is that all relationships, most relationships have an ending. There's a death, there's a slow spiral, there's a freaking out, there's an anger, there's divorce, there's death, there's just fading away, right? That's what we have, that's kind of what we have to deal with. So what does God say? What's God's purpose? And then how do we navigate these relationships in a way that's life-giving? And the first idea for me, and this will be through the whole thing, is that relationships are a living thing. All relationships are living. And, you know, so I'll use plants as the best example. The relationship with a plant is living. You have to provide soil, you have to provide water and some sunlight. And then oxygen, right, has to be around. And so it's helpful for us to start thinking of relationships are a living thing that have to be, you have to be intentional about. You have to think about it. You have to move, you have to want something with it. Right? Can we agree with that? Can we agree? No? I'm that sad. Whatever, scientists. But this is the nature of a relationship. So what you put in is what you get out. That's just, that's science, right? That's like facts. And so what we want to do is look first and foremost at the relationship, the mother of all relationships, the relationship with God. Because the relationship with God, it's trickle-down economics. It's trickle-down. The relationship with God is up here. It all flows downhill. And so to the extent that you have a relationship with God, and however far that is, and however life-giving that is, that's what you can expect for all your other relationships. If you don't have a relationship with God, then your expectation in all other relationships is as far as you can go. Or whatever you can imagine, and you know, that's just it. So what I'm saying is, this is the prime relationship with God. And here's why. Because God is perfect. Think about it. Don't you want a friend or a spouse who always wants to hear you talk? Who always wants to hear the same story? Like you're stuck in a cycle? And you keep telling me, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I start to zone out. I'm actually thinking about something I want to do right now. God always will listen. So like when it comes to relationships, you have this relationship with God. God actually cares about all the minutiae and all the small stuff that everybody else has a hard time caring about. God can be offended by you, and he'll still be there. You can reject him, and you can say, I don't have time for you. I don't want you. You can even say, like, no thanks. You can be rude, and then when you go back to him, he'll be like, hey, I forgive you. Don't we want someone like that in our lives? God even has gifts for you when you don't deserve them. Like, this is the perfect relationship. He has all power. He creates all beauty. He doesn't buy flowers. He creates them and gives them smell. And he wants to be in a relationship with you. This is the best possible relationship you can have because everybody else is limited. We're all limited in what we can do, and we're limited in how much we care. We're sinners, so we will hurt you. We will hurt each other. We will say one thing and do another. Oh, I'm for you. I'll be with you forever. You know what? I don't feel anything for you anymore. It's over. That's how we are. And if you're looking to people, if you're looking to anything under God for all this, what you deserve, the love you deserve, the relationship you deserve, you will be frustrated. Because what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. That's what we're scared of, right? We're scared of being hurt. Because almost everybody, you love your job, sooner or later it hurts you. You love being in nature and hiking, then you lose a limb to a bear. It hurts you. Yeah, I know. I know. It can happen. Every relationship. But this one with God, he's faithful. He's there forever. So the first question is, what is love? And we're going to look at a verse today where it just plainly says everything. And it's God is love. And so if we get into this relationship with God, if relationship equals love, if you need love, and that's the passion and the energy and the consistency to do what you want, to be what you want, that's a relationship you're longing for, God is the source of all love. Look at 1 John chapter 4. I think it's page, if you're following along, page 856. Towards the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. It says, verse 7, at the very bottom of the page. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God. Oh, we should make a new song and sell it. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and he is in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We'll take a break there for a second. So the idea is that God is, his very nature is love. His work is love. And even when he gives his love, he doesn't say, I'm going to love you so that you love me back. Notice that? He says, I'm going to love you so that you can love others. Like God knows the deal. When I love you, I'm hoping you'll love me back. When God loves you, he's hoping that love will overflow to everything you do, to the earth, to your work, to your family, to your friends, to everything, to even to your enemies. Because God has an abundance, a never-ending supply of love, because God is love. And yet, to quote another song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Okay, maybe we should call that. I don't know. We definitely should get a fog machine and play something. So we look for love in all the wrong places. No one else claims to be all love. Who else says, I am love? Come to me. I don't. You don't. You've never said it to me. You've never paid my bills. But God says, I am love, and my goal with love is to love you because you're worth. You were created to receive my love. You were created to be in relationship with God, to walk with him and talk with him. Start to think about when things go bad in your life, where do you go first? Where do you go first? Do you call a person? Do you text somebody? Your feelings get hurt by someone at work? You lose something at work? Something bad happens. Where do you go first? This is kind of a time to assess where you instinctively think love and comfort, you know, it is. We can kind of look at ourselves. Do you go to another friend? I've had times when I text somebody, I can't believe this. So-and-so said this to me. Can you believe it? And I want them to go, I'm so sorry, Adam. That person is awful. That person can go to hell. Yes, that's what I was thinking. Right? And maybe they say that for us for a while, but it doesn't fix anything. I go that, or maybe it's like, oh, I'm so stressed out, I need to have a drink. People at work, oh, I just need to chill out. Or I need to watch the show. If I could just get out of this situation and go watch 12 hours of this new show I'm into, wouldn't that be great? I just need to eat something right now. Don't even talk to me. Where do you go? It reminds me of Reed's had a story when he worked at FedEx. They called it the FedEx bear, teddy bear. Something like that. But basically, when someone had a question, instead of just going to someone and interrupting their work and saying, hey, how do I escape this stream? And you're like, what? Just move, and then you do it for them. They had a rule. Whatever question you have, you go first to this closet where there's a teddy bear, and you ask the teddy bear. Right? You ask this giant bear, because then you can realize how stupid your question is. Or then you can realize
that
no,
it's
that wasn't the question.
Exactly. Okay, well, here's how I heard it. You can go and realize that you can probably answer the question yourself.
That's what you got out of this.
That's what I got out of it. He told me the story. I thought it's great. So now we have a giant teddy bear in my house, and all the kids have to go there before me. You go and you ask the teddy bear because it helps you formulate the question, helps you realize what's really going on before you go and ask someone else to save you. Right? So it doesn't matter what the story is. My point for it is I'm telling you, Jesus, God, is the source of love. So whatever burden. And we're never going to be free from all these burdens. We're never going to be free from drama. Don't ever hear me say, trust Jesus, and no one will ever be mean to you, and you'll never have hardship. No. The good news of Jesus is He will walk with you through all the hardship and through all the drama, and he is there, and you can trust him, and he is for you, and he's rational and honest and loving. And so you go, we have to learn and be intentional in this relationship with God to say, oh, when I'm feeling stressed, I'm recognizing it, and I'm just going to go to God first. That's part of the intentional, this is a living relationship. And start to recognize the people we're using to replace God. You know, if I keep going to Chris, what should I do? How did you say that? Have you ever had someone help you craft the text? I have. How did you say that? Let me say that again. I wish you could just do this for me. Right. There's a boundary that's being broken, and now I'm having Chris save me. But it's so hard, because when is it just friendship and help? Right. This requires relationship with God to know the difference. And so the primary relationship is with God, because he is love. Here's what happens in verse, the rest of 16. It says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. You know what our biggest problem with God, our relationship with God? It's fear. If I said, how is your relationship with God right now? Strong to very strong? Is it good? How's your relationship with God right now? And I can feel it, not because I'm judging you. Most of us, it's good. We kind of have our agreement. I try to do my thing. Trust him to do his thing. There's something about the relationship with God that it's like looking at a budget, or it's like listening back to a sermon. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to hear how silly, or I don't really want to know how bad it is, maybe. And so in the relationship with God, sometimes it's like, I don't want to get too close, because I don't want to be judged too much. I know I've done a lot of bad. And that's what John's saying. He's like, because of the work of Christ, his atoning sacrifice, all the wrath of God has been poured out on Jesus. Because God is love. And he says, I poured out all the times you're not thinking about me at all. All the times you're using me to do bad things, or you're just neglecting me, or you're hurting my kids, and you're hurting me, and you're hurting my earth, and you're totally being a jerk. All the anger that I should have towards you, I have poured out on my son Jesus Christ. So that you can receive all love and no fear of punishment. And even in our earthly relationships, that's the fear. When I've done something wrong, when my wife's telling me the schedule for the next week and I'm watching soccer, and I don't pick up a child, it has consequences, yes. And in this relationship now, there's fear of punishment. Right? Uh-oh. But really, in our relationship, because it's been so long, real love, the fear of punishment starts to fade away, because there's been sacrifice. Like, that's, and it's not perfect. But I'm saying with God, yes, I really deserve, I have done things, but we can approach him and say, God, forgive me. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. He can afford to forgive you. He's patient enough. He has enough. And so when you feel fear towards God, we announce the truth that God is love. And if you are trusting, if you're saying, Jesus, help me, God's like, perfect. I've poured all the wrath that you deserve out on Jesus. And now I can pour my love into you so that you can love others. Because when you are receiving love from God and you're loving others, guess what's there? You know what's in that little equation? Life. The life you've always wanted. So it goes, life equals relationships. Relationships is built under love. God is love. And then in John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal and kill. But I have come to give life and life abundantly. Jesus says, I've come to give you life. And I know that life is funded by love. That's where you find life. It's when you love the things you're doing. You love it. You love people. You love the Lord. And then Jesus gives you this life. And life is relationship with God. And this is just the top of the relational mountain. But when you start walking with God and pushing into that relationship, it trickles down into your marriages and into your family and into your work. But how, you know? So there's two things. One thing is push into that relationship. I'm telling you, the relationship is worth it. And that's why many of you are here. I know you are. But it's worth getting to know and taking this relationship with God seriously. And it's not more guilt. It's not more shame on you. It's simple. Here's where God is. Here's where he says he is. He says, I'm in my word. I'm in my preached word. I'm in the Lord's Supper. I'm in the church. I'm not hard to find. There's objective. There's things outside of us that we can go to and be assured that we are forgiven, that he is real. We come to gather together. These are the places where we find God, or praying to God. That's where we find him. So don't ever get confused, like, God, where are you? He's not the one hiding from us. We're the one that hides from him. We're the ones that hear him walking and we hide in the bushes and cover ourselves. But now fear is gone and we can boldly go before the Father. We're like, Daddy, here's what that relationship looks like. And I want to tell you today why it's worth pushing into. First reason is that in how it works, how it flows to every other relationship. Just trying to think of a funny story, but let's keep going. For grace. Here's how it works. We'll start with truth. That as you begin to talk to God, this becomes an area, like communication, we'll call it like soil. Every plant needs soil, right? For it to grow. The relationship with God grows through communication. But in this relationship, you're free to communicate and talk to God how you want to talk to everybody. You know, you don't have to manipulate it or say it gently. You don't have to say something to God the way I might have to say something to my kids or my wife or one of you. Oh, interesting choice. I can say to God, God, what is that about? He can handle it. And so in this relationship, I can say, God, I don't understand this. God, what? You can cry out to him. You can have lament. You don't have to try to manipulate him and be cool and maintain. He's like, be honest. And so in your prayers, you can be honest. You can actually say what you want. Well, I just want this. I just want to not worry about you anymore. Cool. He can handle it. And so in our prayers, there's this avenue of truth. But then he begins to reveal truths in yourself, too. You start to realize where you're selfish or where you're proud or where you're not really loving people. And it's not to make you feel bad, but it's to say, hey, this is the truth, and I forgive you, and we can move on. That's where it happens. It happens in prayer. It happens in walking with God. There's an opportunity for truth. Then what happens is there's an opportunity for hope so that as you engage this relationship with God, and you're in the face of things that are despairing, you have no power over, things that are way beyond you, you cry out to the God of the universe, and you say, can you bring stuff back from the dead to life? He says, yes. So even when things are bad, there's a hope that God can make it better. And so you keep talking to him. And then you learn to walk through things that are way out of your power, because hope gives energy. And you just keep doing the things you're supposed to do, and you're letting your requests be made known to God. You're saying, God, I still have hope that you can change these relationships. I still have hope that you can change this marriage, that you can change this earth, that my friends who are dying, you bring back to life. I have hope, and that hope gives you energy to keep going. And you learn that with God over years of a relationship with him. You learn about what truth is. But the best thing that you learn is that God, when you start relating to him and taking this relationship seriously, he gives you all better stories. Do you want a better story? So what I mean by that is, instead of our lives being always about complaining about the job we hate, the people who are annoying, the ache in our back, the worry about surviving, I just have to survive, no, it always works out this way. You have a boring story. Start to look back. Your story is not even interesting. And that's a sin. That's a crime. I can't believe one of God's beautiful children is so boring, pathetic. Right? Our lives can easily become pathetic. And that's why it's hard to have friends. Hey, will you can you make my life more interesting? For a while we will, and then it's like, we can't really be free with you. Everyone leaves me. You're not like that. You're all cool. But you see the trajectory of our lives to become like that. It's the same old story over and over again. And we love God, but what does that matter? And what happens when you start a relationship with God and you go into it honestly and you just talk to him, something happens. For a while, for years and years, you're telling him all your same boring stuff. God, I'm so scared about money. I'm so scared about food. I'm so scared about girls. I'm so scared. Cool. But dear Jesus, this is what I'm praying for all you and for me. At some point, you start to hear about what Jesus cares about. Have you gotten that? At some point in a relationship, you start to hear what the other person cares about. And that's when you start to get a better story. Because now it's like, whoa, I never thought about it these last 20 years, Lord, but what do you care about? It's like, oh, now we can do something. Well, I care about some people, Adam. So last night we're at this Matthew's Hope thing. These lives are being changed. Homeless people are being cared for. And you know where that comes from? Not Scott being this amazing man of God, but Scott just shut up for a while 7 years ago and listened to what God cared about. And God says, I care about some homeless people in this area, and you have the personality to go out there and do it. So Scott heard the heart of God and said, I'll go with you. And when you listen to the heart of God and you go with him, there's never money, there's never stability, there's none of that. You have to have faith and you follow God, but it's okay because you know this is God's thing and I'm with him. I'm going. And now you have these amazing stories of redemption. You have these amazing stories about how this guy had a huge tumor on his arm, and he comes into Matthew's Hope, and they save his life. And people are giving testimonies about how they lived in their car with their daughters and sons, and now their life is redeemed. So how did he do that? He just started listening to the heart of God. Because God wants to share that with you. Or the Don Branchow run we did yesterday. It'd be easy in tragedy just to kind of envelop into yourself. But someone said, where's your heart, God? Well, I want to use this as an opportunity to love other people with animals. There's all this creativity. We can all be different. We don't all have to help the homeless. Or for Chris, my friend who started Cancer Bank, lost a good friend with cancer. He listens to the heart of God, and he starts doing something that's way beyond what he could do on his own. Way beyond. Now you're living adventure. Now you're going, oh, we need $30,000. We don't have it. God, we want $30,000. And you're like, I wish I had that kind of faith. You do. But you just got to start listening to God and seeing what he cares about. And I was about 18 years of marriage before I figured this out with God. Well, maybe I should listen to what she cares about. It changes everything. This relationship with God will then trickle down. Because you learn to communicate, now you can communicate with others. You learn to have hope in despair, and instead of jumping in everybody's pity party, you have hope because you get hope from God. And then you learn how to hear the heart of other people and care, and you either join in an adventure with them, or you're like, eh, because you're free. This is the opportunity and the hope that we have. So I'm telling you, if there's one relationship to really push into, it would be to chase and pursue this one with God. From that, it's trickling down, and it'll set the bar for every other relationship. It'll at least open up life and life abundant. And it's not hard. He's super gracious. He's so kind. He's there all the time. He's the perfect friend. Right? God is love. It's right. What is love? Love, love, love. How do we, it sounds cool, but here's what we do. The beauty is we access this by saying, God, forgive me. I haven't loved people well. And work this love into me. It begins by receiving God's love first. And then he'll be able to pour into all these other relationships through you. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, my prayer is that you would give us the energy to push through all distractions, to push through all the momentum of our life that doesn't make time for you, and to pour into our hearts right now the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that would set aside 2 minutes a day to ask you, what are you doing today, Lord? give us your faith. Give us your ears. We know this is all a work of God so that we can start to hear your heart. And beyond, move beyond a selfish love into the love of God that you freely and abundantly give to us through Jesus Christ. We know that this love was initiated by you. We've just seen it and we trust it. But my prayer, Lord, is for all of us that our relationships would be marked, that we'd start moving into this, the kind of relationships that are marked by and funded by the love of God, no longer on our own strength, no longer with our own expectations, but open to hope and truth and better stories. We ask that you would meet us and lead us into this. In Jesus' name, amen.